afternoon, and thank you for joining us. This is Feeding America's first ever virtual town hall, and my name is Mara Daly, and I will be serving as your call moderator today. I'm the Vice President of Government Relations and Advocacy here at Feeding America, and we have invited you to join us in a conversation regarding a groundbreaking study named Hunger in America 2010, because the results of this study are quite troubling. All of the data included in this important report points us into one direction, that hunger is on the rise and we need your help. With us today are Vicky Oscura, our president and CEO, and actor David Arquette, who is the chairman of Feeding America's Entertainment Council. Vicky's going to talk to us about what we learned from Hunger in America, and David has a special message to send all of you, because like you, he is an anti-hunger advocate as well. Before we get started, I want to explain a little bit about how this call is going to work and why we're here today. The purpose of this call is to bring our advocates together for a real discussion about hunger, because all of us have one thing in common. We all believe that no one should go hungry in America. Throughout this call, you will learn more about who is turning to Feeding America food banks for help, why they are struggling with hunger, and what we can all do as advocates to help. Today we're trying something new, which is what advocacy is all about. A virtual town hall is a way to engage our supporters directly, to find out what you're seeing in your own communities, what you're interested in learning more about, and hopefully inspire you to take action. At any time during this call, if you would like to ask a question, you can do that simply by pressing *3 on your phone. We have staff on the phone ready to talk to you about your question. You will be placed in a queue, and when we're ready, someone from our staff will take you to a separate line where you can discuss your question. Once you've spoken with someone from our staff, they will return you to the live call, and I will be notified of your question. At the end of this call, we will take as many questions as possible for Vicky and David, and if we get to your question, I will call your name and location, and your phone line will be unmuted so you can ask the question live. This works just like a radio show, if any of you have ever called into your local radio station. So it's important during the Q&A session, if you're geared up and ready to ask a question, that you listen for your name and answer. If for any reason we can't get to your question, we'll follow up with you after the call. So this is a town hall meeting. Please ask questions. Please be interactive. We want to ask for everyone, in light of the limited time that we have today, to keep your questions focused around the issue of hunger. So if you have other questions that are not related to hunger, we invite you to address those to us through our Hunger Action Center. So again, just as a reminder, please press *3 to ask a question anytime during this call. And with that, I'd like to introduce Vicky Oscura, our president and CEO of Feeding America. Vicky?
Thanks, Maura. Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of all of the Feeding America food banks across the country, I'd like to join Maura in thanking you for our first ever virtual town hall meeting. As an anti-hunger advocate, you're really important to the work we do here at Feeding America. As we seek to educate Congress about hunger in America, it's really important that all of us understand the issue of hunger ourselves, which is why we're together today. Last week, we released a new piece of research called Hunger in America 2010. This is the largest and most comprehensive study of its kind. It measures how many people are actually turning to our network for food assistance and why they are. In light of the information we learned from this study, we wanted to bring together those of you from across the country to talk about what we're seeing in our communities and have a discussion about what we can all do to raise awareness. So let's now get into the details. As anybody involved in this work can tell you, in order to make significant progress around hunger and poverty, we first have to understand it. As such, Feeding America contracted with Mathematica, which is a policy research institute and a leader in the field of human services, to do work with 185 network member participants. They all voluntarily agreed to collect data in their communities. For the past year, under the direction of Feeding America and Mathematica, our food banks have enlisted tens of thousands of volunteers to go to the front lines of emergency feeding organizations across the country, interview clients waiting in line for food to learn more about who's in need, where they live, why they're in need, and what other services they're accessing. No other study captures this depth of information at the national and the local level. What we'll share with you today is certainly the number of people who are turning to us for help. It's dramatically increased, but I would also share with you, and I will at the very end of just a few comments, the numbers are staggering, but the stories behind the people are what really tells and really gets us about what's going on. So through our network of food banks at Feeding America and the agencies that we serve, emergency food assistance is provided to now to 37 million people each year. That's including nearly 14 million children and 3 million senior citizens. This represents a staggering 46% increase in the number of people receiving emergency food compared to 4 years ago. Unfortunately, this means that 1 in 8 Americans is coming to us for assistance. The other thing is that our network is now serving 1 million more people each week for a total of almost 6 million people compared to 4 years ago. Many of the people that are coming to us are first-time users living in households with kids. We've seen a 50% increase in the number of children served through our network compared to 2006. The economy is certainly driving a lot of these sharp increases, as we all know. I would offer to you that our research is the first to really show the indication of the link between the currently weakened economy and the emergency need for food assistance. To that end, we have seen, and this is to me just overwhelming, a 68% increase in the number of adults seeking emergency food who have been unemployed for a year, under a year compared to 4 years ago. So these are first-time clients that have never come to us for help before. Not surprising, many of the people that are struggling with unemployment and the pressures of skyrocketing health care costs are also in need of food assistance. Households seeking emergency food assistance are often forced to make very tough decisions about food and other basic necessities like utilities, heat, rent or mortgage, transportation, medicine, or other medical care. We also found that many people that are coming to us for food assistance are also receiving federal benefits, but there are millions more households in our system. And while the data shows a 64% increase in the number of clients receiving SNAP benefits, we know there are millions of households receiving assistance who are income eligible and not for SNAP and not enrolled in the program. Finally, and equally stunning, it shows that African Americans and Hispanics are disproportionately impacted by food insecurity compared to the U.S. population. Feeding America has seen an increase of more than 1 million additional African Americans in need of emergency food this year. More than 1 in 3 African American adults seeking emergency food from Feeding America are saying that they are experiencing very low food security or they go hungry often. More than 1 in 3 Hispanic adults are receiving emergency food assistance, and they're also experiencing very low food security or are hungry. So in closing on my part, if there's anything that I could leave you with, it's that the results of Hunger in America show that all of you have really helped us with a tremendous amount of work in the past. We've just got a lot of work ahead of us. And I would also leave you with one story, because behind the millions of numbers, there are always stories of moms and dads, elderly people, senior citizens, and a lot of kids. And I was in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, and talked to one of our clients who was a single mother and was a teacher who had lost her job in the last month with twin girls. And we were discussing, had she come to us for assistance before? She had not. And I asked her, you know, if she was getting enough food to feed her children. And she said that her kids always were her priority, but that many nights that she went to bed, and this was her quote, sleeping off hunger, which is really just a tragedy. So this story and many others really remind me of the important role that all of you play as advocates for our work. Your ability to raise awareness in your community and educate our lawmakers about hunger is really important. I'm awestruck always by the responsibility that we all have in making our communities and our world better, and we are forever grateful for your continued support. In conclusion, I'd just like to reiterate the importance of this work and let you know we just can't do it without you. We are acutely aware that only by joining together and using our voice can we build the momentum that's necessary to end hunger. With that, I'd like to turn it over to, I would say, my dear friend and Feeding America's dear friend, David Arquette, who has just been an unbelievable chairperson for the Entertainment Council and a real advocate for people that need assistance in every sense of the word. So, David, over to you.
Thank you, Vicki. I'd also like to thank everyone for joining us today at this virtual town hall meeting. It's very exciting to be able to talk about the issue of hunger. It's such an important issue. It's dear to my heart. When I was a kid growing up, I was in the lunch food program, something that Feeding America helps be an advocate for. A lot of things that people don't know about Feeding America is that they do everything. I mean, they distribute food throughout the country. They work hand in hand with these food banks to make sure people that are hungry can get food on the plate and feed their children, their family members. But they also go to Washington and, you know, they give a voice to these people. And it's just really such an important situation that's going on in America right now. I feel honored to be able to be a part of this because I work at a pantry a couple times a week, and I see the faces that come in, the people, and they're everyday Americans. They're not, you know, I mean, Feeding America does also feed the homeless, and that's a very important part of the work that they do. But for the most part, it's working Americans, it's seniors that are living on a fixed income, it's children. And the emergency food assistance number that Vicki was talking about, that's when somebody comes into a food pantry or a food bank and they have nowhere else to turn. They need to eat, and they don't know what to do. And when you see somebody come in like that, it's really touching. For one, there's a element of insecurity and fear. They've never done it before. They're almost as if a little ashamed to have to do this. But there's nothing to be ashamed about. And you just say, listen, everybody needs help. We need to help each other. You know, we're a community. We're a family. We're all in this together. So whatever you guys can do to help volunteer at places in your community, you can go to feedingamerica.org and find out a food bank or a food pantry or a church or a mission or any number of places that that you can lend your support to. Throughout my work with Feeding America, I've met so many incredible people that are dedicated, you know, 20 years plus working at this great cause. And it's just been a joy to be able to meet such amazing people, to work with the families and see all the smiling faces when they do come in, and you know they know they're going to have food on their plate and they're going to be able to feed their family. There's an element of a relief that they feel, and you know, once you do sort of get into this circuit and you start meeting the people, you make some really great friends. And there's a woman named Delphia that works at the pantry that I work at, who's been feeding people for more than 20 years. And she's just an amazing woman, gives me the greatest hug. And just in general, all of the families that we see come through are really, they're our brothers and sisters. So, you know, I just encourage you all to get involved, do what you can. $1 donated to Feeding America makes several meals. And it's just an incredible network, and it was born out of a man's vision of a woman holding her baby going through the garbage looking for food. And it's that spirit that still continues all the work that they do. So thank you for having me. Thank you all for joining. And if you have any questions, please ask. Thanks.
Thanks, David. You're a true champion for our cause, and we all certainly appreciate your efforts, and thank you for joining us today. As David said, there's a lot that we can all do. Advocacy is incredibly important to our mission, and without the support and commitment of our government, we cannot hope to end hunger in America. But the good news is that advocacy is easy, and it doesn't take a ton of time. Feeding America can work with you directly to help you figure out how you'd like to get involved. It's advocates just like those of you on the phone today who help create the political will that we need to end hunger in America. We just need to join together to make our collective voices heard. Child nutrition reauthorization is right around the corner, and we need your help. During the election, President Obama pledged to end child hunger by 2015. We want to help him reach that goal, and we can do that by advocating for increased funding for child nutrition programs, which provide food for children both during and outside of school hours. In fact, just this week on a conference call, the United States Department Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, repeatedly mentioned how important it is that Congress hears directly from constituents during the reauthorization process. He specifically called for a grassroots effort to engage Congress on these critical issues, which means all of us can pitch in. In the coming months, we will be calling further upon advocates to help educate elected officials about the need for funding for these programs. We hope that you can be a part of that with Feeding America and our 204 food banks all around the country. We're going to move shortly into a Q&A, but before we get started, I want to get your feedback with a little creative function that we have available on our virtual town hall today. Hunger in America 2010 was a national study. However, 185 Feeding America food banks across the country have their own local studies that can tell you about the same kinds of statistics regarding hunger in your own community. If you're interested in hearing more about your local food bank's hunger study, please press 1 on your phone right now. If you press 1, we will follow up directly with those of you who would like to learn more and help connect you to your local food bank so you can get involved directly. With that, I am going to take our first call. So moving into the Q&A session, for those of you who have pressed star 3 on your phone, please listen for your name as we're going to take questions and answers. And either Vicki or David, myself, or another member of the Feeding America team will answer your questions. And you can still press star 3 at any point in time to go in the question queue. So our first question comes from Robin, who is in Winters, California. Robin, would you like to ask your question?
Yes, I would. Well, my question is, in terms of federal agricultural policies, what types of changes do we need to overcome hunger in our country? And what can I do as an individual to help make those changes?
So, hi, Robin. This is Vicki. I'll start, and then David and or Mara may want to jump in. But there is a lot that advocates on the phone can do by connecting locally with their federal officials. We have many examples. I'll give you one that happened about a year and a half ago with the Farm Bill. We saw literally multi-million dollar improvement in the Farm Bill as a result of our network coming together and insisting that more commodities be released for our food banks across the country. And it wouldn't have happened had we not had unity with our food banks, really from a local, state, and national perspective, really pushing on it. It actually was vetoed by the president three times but overturned. And the result really allows us today to see significant increases in the food that's going through our network. And so I appreciate your question. There's a lot that can be done. As Maura mentioned, the child nutrition reauthorization is up in the president's bill. Congress will be actually voting on it in the near term. It has $1 billion every year for the next 10 years to virtually assist in ending childhood hunger. And so I encourage you all to write to your congressmen and women.
Okay.
Can I answer as well? As an individual,
yeah,
you can volunteer your time. Feeding America thrives on volunteerism. You can get a group together and go to a food bank and help sort through different, cans and stuff. There's a lot of stuff you can do, and donations are always helpful.
And the only other thing that I would add, you're on the phone today, obviously, because you're interested in acting. One of the most important things you can do is use your network of friends and family and colleagues and other people in your community to also get engaged, whether you have outlets through your profession or faith-based affiliations or through your friends' network. Anything you can do to engage more people in the work that we do through the Hunger Action Center, which is where you can register for our advocacy program at hungeractioncenter.org, would be very, very helpful for our child nutrition reauthorization efforts. Thanks for the question. Our next question comes from Vicki in Merkle, Indiana. Vicki, are you with us?
I'm here. Okay, my question is this, and I'll start by telling you, I am disabled and on a fixed income, and so money is not something I can donate. However, I own an acre of property, and I met teenagers that were just hanging out in the summer, and together we made a gorgeous garden and grew produce. Following the growth of the produce, I donated some to the pantry, the food pantry, and I watched it rot in baskets. Nobody took it. So then I canned by processing in a food processor here at home, and I've been doing this for years, feeding my family by preserving the vegetables that I grow, and the pantry won't take it, and I do not understand. It's perfectly good food. It's been preserved. My family eats it, and I want to share it. And that just doesn't make sense. Why won't pantries take home canned food products grown from a garden?
So, hey, Vicki, this is Vicki. David, I'll take a shot at this, and if you want to jump in, please do. First and foremost, we really appreciate the work that you do. We have relationships with farmers across the country, and I would tell you that produce is roughly 20% of the food that we distribute through our network, which last year we distributed almost 1.7 billion pounds of food. So, it's a lot. So thank you for that. We really have to steer away from taking home canned products because of very, very stringent safety standards that are put in place that we're held accountable to by our donors. But if you would like to give those products to, your church or local synagogue or whatever, please do that. It's just a standard that we cannot manage through our network.
Well, I understand health and safety standards. I honestly do. Someone would like to come see my gorgeously clean kitchen and all the products that I use to feed my own family and have for years, it just doesn't make sense that I'm not able to share with people perfectly good food. And, I understand safety. I understand health. But let them come check out my kitchen before turning me down.
So, yeah. You know what? I'm sorry, David. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Just, it is. It's. I'm not sure if they could come visit the kitchen, but it really is the main focus is always having safe food. And although your kitchen's safe, they just have to. You have to be really careful. I think the best thing is to go to sort of, a direct like soup kitchen or a church or a mission, because there within the kitchen you can make sure that it's being cooked and they could probably come check out your kitchen and it's sort of more of a grassroots kind of personal connection. Feeding America is such a huge network that they have to be extra stringent about their rules and regulations.
People are too happy.
What's that?
I said people are too happy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going to a church, it still helps. I mean, it's not, it's about getting the food to people who need it, really. So whichever way you can really make that work, and that's such a great thing that you're doing, and keep it up.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Joanne, who is in Monterey, California. Joanne, are you with us? Okay.
Food is currently delivered to a site where individuals can access food at the site, but there are individuals, primarily senior citizens or people who do not drive, who have difficulty getting to the site. And I was thinking if it's possible to have some type of distribution system where the people in need would be able to receive the food at their residence. I know it's really reaching out, but there are certain individuals who do need to be capable of doing so.
Thanks, Joanne. That's a really great question. And we have a number of food banks in the Feeding America network who operate senior programs that are specifically intended to reach seniors who are homebound. It is something that there's a number of programs. There's a federal program that operates in some states called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, in addition to some programs that are funded locally by private donations in food bank communities. So I think the best thing for us to do in your case would be to connect you with the local food bank that serves in your area and can provide some additional information about what kind of senior outreach they're doing in California, because there's a number of fantastic programs in California.
Okay, you do have that capability then. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. I'll check with the food bank then.
Yeah, and also your local pantry. Like here in Los Angeles, we have Project Angel Food that that delivers to people who are in medical, who are suffering from medical conditions that have them homebound. So there may be a specific pantry, and Feeding America's food bank provides to Project Angel Food. So there is always a connection.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Our next caller is David from Minneapolis. David, are you with us?
Yes, I think so. Can you hear me?
Hi, David. Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I've just been looking at the 2009 America Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Congress passed, and Barack Obama, about a month after he was in office, signed this bill that is going to cost the American taxpayer $787 billion. I'm wondering, of that $787 billion, how much of it, if any, is going to find its way into assisting the hungry?
Very good question, David. Actually, quite a lot. And I would say the first thing that not only helps our clients that obviously need the help, but also is a very big stimulus to the economy, or the improvements that we saw in the SNAP program, which was formerly known as Food Stamp Outreach. $20 billion of improvement went into that program, which increased roughly those families that were receiving support from about 220, family of four, $224 a month up to about $325 a month. So it was significant. For every dollar that's invested in SNAP, about $1.75 to $0.80 goes back into the local community. So it is really a stimulus and a good one. Then there was another $100 million that was in that bill that went into providing additional commodities, which are healthy food, for our food banks and are actually served out to the pantries that David was speaking about. So that was very important. And then there was another $50 million in transportation and storage in light of the fact that one of our largest expenses in managing our operation is how do you get the food from point A to point B. The final thing that I would mention that is not directly involved with food distribution, but nevertheless we have applied across many states, is there was some extra money in there for TANF benefits, which actually helped some of the poorer families that were involved in welfare benefits get extended opportunities. And so we've been connecting those families across the United States with those benefits. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Real quickly, we are going to take the next caller in just one moment. We've talked about the results of Hunger in America 2010 and what you can do to spread the word and help us educate our leaders. If you press 1 on your phone right now, we are looking for advocates who are interested in doing more and building a community of hunger champions in their own backyard. So if you are interested in becoming a hunger champion, which would allow you to organize people to send personal communications to legislators, engaging your friends, and working with your local Feeding America food bank on legislative issues, we encourage you to press 1, and we'll follow up with you after the call today. We're also going to open up the line of James, who is with us from Delray Beach, Florida. James.
Hi. I have a two-part question. In view of what we see that has gone on with the media relative to giving support to the Haitians, it came to my mind is that I don't see that kind of activity on behalf of Feeding America. So the first part of my question is what can be done to get entertainment celebrities celebrities of all kinds, but entertainment is one of them, of course, talk show hosts and people like that to give attention to Feeding America, to Hunger in America, which is, you know, should come before all others. Celebrities, you read about them doing things for various people in Africa, and, of course, now the Haitians, then there was the tsunami, which a lot of celebrities got interested. We have to get the same kinds of people on our media locally doing work for Feeding America. That's the first part.
Yep. So, James, great question. David, do you want to take that or shall I?
Well, why don't you start? I have to apologize.
I understand David is connected with the entertainment industry, but I don't recognize the name.
That's all right.
James, let me tell you a little bit about what we have going on, and that is David is the chairperson of the Entertainment Council and has done a lot of work across the entertainment industry. We have a council that consists of over 35 members. They're both in sports, in the arts, in food, and so forth. And they have been actively involved in doing a lot of work for us, including a concert in Los Angeles this past year where Sheryl Crow sang with a number of other musicians and brought a lot of awareness and money to our cause. We have as well this past year received over 5 billion impressions as far as the media goes, and which is best in class as far as just awareness. And so I think what happened with Haiti, and I would offer that I believe both issues are very, very important. We are getting a fair amount of visibility. There's always more that can be done. But our Entertainment Council is actually out in the media doing work every single week and doing a lot. It's just it's not happening all at once with a crisis like Haiti, which occurred over the course of the last immediately, but has had a lot of press in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think the fact that it was an emergency and the fact that hunger is an ongoing issue, that there's no real there isn't a specific event that happens that people can kind of jump on. I would love to be able to put together a telethon, and maybe that's something that we can talk about, but there
have
are
you ever
several
been on,
things.
Have
that?
You ever had people on Larry King's show?
I haven't been on Larry King yet. Have you, Vicki?
We have been on Larry King. We've also been on most of the morning TV shows, including the last show that we were on, James, was CBS Sunday Morning. So we'll just have to make sure that we get information out to you and the rest of our advocates about the great media that we're getting. And you know what? We're actually talking with David right now potentially about a telethon. So it's a good point.
Yeah, definitely. And just another thing, just a few things that we have been doing. There's something coming up called Stamp Out Hunger, where you can leave a box of food for your local pantry and a letter carrier will pick it up. And that's sometime in April, I believe. Is that right, Vicki?
Yep.
And we'll have, there'll be advertisement for that. And advertisement is sort of an aspect of what the Entertainment Council does to help sort of raise awareness about hunger in America. And The Biggest Loser, also, the television show, has been really supportive, and they do something every year. They have tied Feeding America into their whole structure of their show, which has been really helpful. And it's just sort of anything we can do. We've definitely gone out there and helped raise awareness. But thank you for your question, and I hope you, now that you're sort of talking about it, I hope you see it out there a little more, what we are trying to do.
Our next question comes from Marvin, who's with us from Sarasota, Florida. Marvin.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, Marvin.
Hello.
Hi, Marvin.
Hi there. Hello?
You're
on the air. Go for it, Marvin.
Okay. I have a question. I have a elementary school right here in my local area. I run a food pantry and a clothing hut once a week, and we're averaging 125 to 150 people through that. But the principal at the school had spoke to me and asked me if I knew of any funding or any way to fund a program to feed children on the weekend. He said 50 to 75 kids from his school, which they have about 800 in their elementary school, are going home, and he says, I know they're not getting a hot meal at all over the weekend until they come back on Monday. And I've worked on microwavable packages, and I've averaged about 20 on a weekly basis for him that he can pass out. But is there any foundation funding or any way that I can find information to further assist this program that I'm in?
Absolutely. I would encourage you to go to the Center Food Bank. They can help you put together funding for a program that we work on across America called the Backpack Program, which provides backpacks for children and families over the weekend. And I would simply tell you, it's one of the programs that we always get really more funding than we can accommodate. It is something that donors really love to participate in. And so, Marvin, please get in touch with our Sarasota Food Bank. You can go to www.feedingamerica.org and then go right into the local food bank. And that's a good way to go, but that's exactly what I'd encourage you to do.
Great. Thanks for the question. Our next question comes from Kimberly, who is calling in from Maryland. Kimberly.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm a firm believer in that no one should ever go hungry. So my husband and I, we donate large bags of food throughout the whole entire year, on top of giving monetary donations. And then during Thanksgiving and Christmas, we volunteer our time to feed the homeless. But yet I feel there's more I can do. Any suggestions?
Well, first off,
sure.
Kimberly, thank you so much for all the work you are doing. That's really admirable. And
thank you very much.
I think if I could give my suggestion is just really try to get some of your friends and family involved. That's something that or any community leaders within your area that maybe have a big business or anything you can do to really raise awareness, just sort of get your community to back this issue the way you have, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a really good suggestion, because instead of me, because my husband and I, we really have everything that we need. We have all of our basic needs. And the suggestion to get the family on board is great, because instead of them sending me a Christmas card with $20 in there, now you've just given me a great idea where now, instead of sending it to me, just make a donation to the homeless. And I will definitely take that into consideration. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Dennis in Chicago.
Hello.
Hello.
Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Hey, Dennis.
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. I'm just sitting here as I'm listening to the phone call. I'm working on my sermon, my homily for this coming Sunday, and I wanted to make the comment that if there are ministers on the call or people know that ministers, they should encourage them to use the gospel whenever possible to preach about issues of hunger. This coming Sunday, the gospel's from Luke, and it talks about the Beatitudes of feeding the hungry and caring for the poor, and it's a perfect time to take that opportunity to mention some of the data from the Hunger in America 2010 study and to talk about how we can take action in the to start Jesus' admonition to feed the hungry and care for the poor. So I would just encourage ministers and rabbis and any people who are preaching from the scriptures to take that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. That's a wonderful suggestion.
It is. Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Katrina, who's calling in from New Stanton, Pennsylvania. Katrina?
Tendency was a listing of the top three issues that you feel as an organization need to be addressed in hunger awareness.
Could you repeat your question, Katrina? We were having a difficulty at the beginning hearing you come through. If you could repeat it, that would be great.
Sure. I said I had just reviewed the executive summary of Hunger in America, and I did not see any kind of summary of the top three issues that need to be addressed in order to move forward with hunger awareness.
So the top three that come to mind for me that we've been studying a fair amount are the overall stigma that, you know, 1 in 8 Americans is hungry, close to 1 in 5 kids. I think most people, A, don't believe that, and then that's one point. And then, B, I think there's a stigma around asking for help. you know, people, most especially the elderly, really don't like to do that. So overcoming stigma, just ensuring that people know this is a real issue, that it is amongst all of us, are the three that come to mind for me.
David, do you have anything to add?
No, that's sort of Vicki's expertise for sure.
Okay. Great. Thanks for the question. Our next question comes from Tracy, who is calling in from Herlong, California. Tracy.
Hello. My question is referring to the lady who makes the canned goods for the community. We partner with the FFA program in bringing agricultural sciences to the community. And so she has grown such a large garden. Why not offer the seeds to her produce and education and help the community grow their own food or raise their own food? Is there any program within your program that offers the education like that?
One of the partnerships that Feeding America has and is strengthening is with the National Farmers Union, which is represented in all 50 states and predominantly in rural communities, but do have a presence in urban communities as well. It's a very good suggestion to partner with a local farm group, which oftentimes does have relationships with food banks or agencies directly that go out and either glean food or donate food, and sometimes at the state level, we even have programs that are operating that are supported with state funds that help encourage farmers to donate food. So I would encourage connecting if the National Farmers Union is active in your community or the American Farm Bureau. Those would be two great places to partner with folks growing crops directly. Okay. We have the next question is coming from Shelley from San Diego.
Hi. I run one of the local food pantries here, and we engage a group of 40 teenage members on a student executive committee that coordinate our food drives and are currently focused on some political advocacy. And we've worked with our local Feeding America letter writing campaigns. We have engaged one of our county board supervisors, but we're having difficulty and we're wanting to know other strategies to really get the ear of local, state, and federal politicians so that we can talk to them about some of the policies affecting food stamps, childhood obesity, and hunger in general.
So, Shelley, this is Vicki. I would encourage you, we've got a very good food bank in San Diego. I would encourage you to go on feedingamerica.org and go right into the site San Diego and call the executive director there. His name is Gary McDonald, and he can help you.
Okay, and we've talked to them about some of the local things that we can do here, but I think it's also important for pantries and Feeding America food banks to look at the state and federal policies that are affecting food stamps and food stamp eligibility, and how can everyone across the nation coordinate together to really get the politicians at state and federal levels to listen to us.
Absolutely, and we are coordinating a Hunger Champions program through our Hunger Action Center that's intended to operate not just at the federal level but also at the state and local level. So the first action I would recommend is to make sure that all of the students you're working with are registered users of the Hunger Action Center, and then to opt into our Hunger Champions program. For those individuals that actually opt in, they will receive a much higher level of service from the Feeding America public policy and advocacy team with direct outreach, working in concert with our food bank in your local community to coordinate those kinds of efforts. Our next question comes from Volma, who's calling from Miami, Florida.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Again, my name is Alma Valsi. I'm from Miami, Florida. I am involved in this organization. The name of it is Haitian Generation 2.0. What we do is we basically go out on the streets, feed the homeless at the trunk of our cars. Basically, we've been doing that for about a year. And my concern is, how do we go about, like, getting involved with Feeding America to make it more efficient so we feed more people and also feed the people that are going to sleep hungry and the veterans that are on the streets every day that needs food. And we've been feeding close to 200 people every week, and we've been doing that for about a year. And I would like to know, what can we do to actually make that more efficient?
Hey, Volma, this is Vicki. You know what? You're awesome. Thank you so much for the work you're doing to help those folks in Miami. There is a very good food bank that's called Feeding South Florida, and they are doing some really great work. They've recently brought on a lot of additional food through some new sources. And so Judith Gotti is the executive director in Feeding South Florida. We can give her your information, which we have, but I would also encourage you to give her a call and make sure that you're connected to her.
Okay.
Sorry, I think you may have gotten cut off, Alma, but what you could do is go to feedingamerica.org. which is our organizational website, and if you input your zip code, it will pull up the food bank located in Miami and contact information for Judith. Okay, our next question comes from Dana, who's calling from Sacramento, California.
Hello there.
Hello.
My question was, I know that a lot of people in lower income areas don't have like access to healthier fresh foods. So I was wondering how we can get Congress and urge them to demand better access for lower income areas.
David, you want to take a shot at that?
I think by writing letters and sort of maybe getting a petition together or something. I'm not exactly sure, but I do know that San Francisco has a really amazing program, the San Francisco Food Bank, where they work hand in hand with the farmers, and they have a food distribution sort of set up that people come in, and it's almost like going to a farmer's market. It's really impressive. So if you contact your local food bank, I think they probably could look at what they're doing in San Francisco and replicate it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I would add one thing to that. That is, Dana, that getting more and more families enrolled in food stamps and or SNAP is a really great way to get families connected with healthier foods. USDA is doing a lot of work to improve the quality of food that they offer through those programs. And we are working with Congress to ensure that there is support for that program in the days ahead. So anything that you can do in your local area through members of Congress and your local state to get more families involved in SNAP benefits is very helpful.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
Okay, we're going to take our last question, which is from Erin from Maryland. Erin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I just want to try to figure out, I've never been able to get a very clear answer as to what kind of policy there is to encourage more members of the community that produce food, from farmers all the way through to restaurants who make food and have food that they can't, they don't, it's not bad food, but they either can't sell it as a farmer where we've had a long history in this country of farmers actually destroying food because of the that they won't be able to make enough money if there's overproduction, which that in itself is just criminal. And then all the way to people like in a bakery or a restaurant have food that they don't want to sell the next day, but it's still perfectly good food. And I've noticed in my own efforts to get this food from various entities, take it to Superstations or the food bank, a lot of businesses are resistant because it seems that the laws to protect from any kind of liability are cobbled together on a municipal state level, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of federal mandate to protect them, to encourage them to donate this food. I've read that we throw away as much as 40% of the food that we produce in this country. And that if that statistic is true, it seems to me that a mandate like that would be an excellent way to encourage more people. And then one more thing I want to add to that, and then I'll let you guys give me the answers. It also is difficult for people like myself who want to gather this food, be able to deduct, keep a good record and deduct the cost of our gas and such to go and gather this food, because I'm happy to do that, but unfortunately I, like a lot of other people, am suffering a bit of an economic downturn and things are tight. So I'm wondering if there's any kind of federal mandates to encourage a kind of tax deductible way to go about doing this. So those are my two big questions.
Thank you.
Sure. I can answer them, and I'll try to. There were a number of questions in there, so I'll try to get to all of them. The first one is that there are laws at the federal level referred to as the Good Samaritan Act, which we've made tremendous progress in the last 10 years on protecting donors, both corporate as well as non-corporate donors. And the biggest breakthrough happened about 2 years ago when the tax deductions, the enhanced tax deductions that corporations in America were able to take historically were extended to all business taxpayers. So what that meant is for the first time, some of the folks that we've talked about on this call, small farmers, ranchers, wholesalers, franchisees, people who might be owning a mom-and-pop pizza shop in your neighborhood could donate food and experience the same enhanced tax deduction that all of the big companies receive for making food donations. The complication with tax law is that it expires a little more frequently than some of the other legislation that we work on, and we're currently operating in a phase where the law that was passed about 2 years ago expired at the end of the calendar year, and we need to work to get new legislation passed that's retroactive. We're confident that that will happen. It's a matter of timing, of when and how it will happen, which is exactly why we need the support of advocates like you engaged on the Hunger Action Center, looking for alerts from us on these issues. And if you could express directly to us in your profile that you are interested in tax issues, that would be incredibly helpful for us to know. In terms of the transportation issue that you're referencing, there has been a lot of work recently among the nonprofit sector where people are looking to add additional tax incentives for people volunteering for nonprofits, either to get to their volunteer post or to have deductions for the cost they might incur in delivering an in-kind donation. It's something that our partners at the independent sector are very involved in. It is an important issue for all nonprofits, not just Feeding America, and so that's the type of issue due to our limited resources in our advocacy shop that we typically partner with some of the organizations that represent the industry as a whole. So I would encourage you to check out Independent Sector's website on that particular issue. And I hope that I've addressed, I think, all of the questions that you asked in that question. Okay. We're approaching an hour, and so we're going to wrap up. If you didn't get a chance to ask your question or you'd like to leave us a comment, you'll have the opportunity to leave a voicemail for us at the end of this phone call. And I really encourage you to leave a message, even if it's just feedback. This is the first time we've done anything like this before. I think we all felt like it was an interesting and healthy conversation. We had over 500 people on the call, and many of you are calling in with additional attendees on your line, so guessing that there are even more people actually on the phone. We will be personally following up with everyone who leaves a voicemail. So again, if we haven't addressed a concern that you have, please leave it to us on voicemail. We thank you all for joining us. A special thanks to Vicki and David for taking time out. And I'll just ask Vicki before we hang up to close.
So, you know, David, it's great having you with us. It's always
good to hear your voice. Thank you.
And you know what? We just love you, man. You're wonderful. But to all of you, we very much appreciate your time and your attention to this issue. You know, we live in a world that we're all connected to each other, and so anything that you all can do to help us through advocating or volunteering or giving, we just really appreciate it and hope to talk with you again soon.
Excellent. Have a great day.
Yeah. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you.